that came. I always tell people the only person I actually tried to get was Damon and Tara. I wanted Damon to come sing in my church, and they were a couple. The rest of these jokers snuck in, man. Especially Demetrius. I mean, one of the things that I did once I found a church, and which I got here because of my aunt. She was the one who was attending here, and they had this great thing called Family Day, which I wish we were still able to do, but I was like, you got to go there. Pastor would minister in casual clothes, which just blew my mind. Yeah. I saw the man up there ministering in jeans and a shirt, and I was like, this dude is expounding in casuals. I got to check this out. And then they would eat afterwards, everybody together, and they'd go play sports. And I was in college, so eating was a big draw. So I wanted people to experience that, man. And little by little, as pastor, I actually brought him to campus, and that's where some of them were exposed to his teaching. And he did a great job ministering, and people said, man, that truth that I heard, I want more of that. And so that came. So I don't claim all of them. Damon and Terry, yes. Damon and Terry, the rest of them, they actually made it their own way. All right, I do want you to be blessed today. The focus of my conversation is really going to be more of an admonishment. I want to talk about waking up, being alert. I think that's appropriate maybe for the period of time that we are in right now. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Your word is our wisdom and our instruction. Indeed, it is our empowerment. We rest and abide in your presence this morning as we're gathered together in this collected presence of your anointing, Lord. We open our hearts, we open our ears, and we say, speak to us. Minister to us. We want to be different when we leave than when we came in. If we had burdens, let it be removed. Lord, if there is sickness, we curse it and cast it down. We thank you for open eye and vision as we seek for the imprint of your presence to be placed upon our lives. Lord, we bless you. We honor you. We thank you, sir. Hallelujah. In agreement said amen. All right. So, one of the things that caught my attention this time, or that welled up in my spirit, is a little statement by David. As David is coming to his kingdom, and he goes to praise God. And in 2 Chronicles 29:15, you can write that down. We won't go there. David starts out by saying, you know, we are strangers in this world. We are simply mere shadows, kind of highlighting the difference of who believers should be and the present world. I also want to add along with that 1 John 2:15-17, where it warns us not to fall in love with this world. And then you said friendship with the world is enmity with God. And I wanted to kind of highlight what it's pointing out there, because one of the Bible says where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And there's a very real danger to get distracted by the things that are around us, right? Even Paul said, hey, I wish none of you were married, because the time of the Lord is soon. It's near. It's coming. And I don't want you to be distracted. If you're married and you're worried about your spouse, if you're single, you're free to follow the Lord. That was heightened in his sense as he was out ministering. And again, what we intend to do is get connected, very connected. You know, like I'm a Longhorn fan. I'm very connected. You know, when they win, I'm up, and when they lose, you know, I don't want to leave the house. You know, I have to remind myself that their winning and losing has nothing to do with my salvation. But we can get connected. We can be connected to other people. We can get connected to movements that are not our own. We can get connected to things and clothing and finances and things like that that has nothing to do with why we are here. Again, in David's estimation, we are simply shadows in this world. Shadows are here and then they're gone. So the important thing is to do what you're supposed to do while you're here. Matter of fact, before I get into the lesson, one of the things I love is the book series called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. The author, it's not C.S. Lewis, It is C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis wrote it for his niece, I think. And within that story is the telling of the gospel and even Revelations and all of that. And in one of the stories, not the first one, the one that they show you is actually like the second book. It's the first in the series, and there's a prequel, but there's another book. And in this book, they go back to Narnia, not all of them, a few of them. They go back to Narnia, and they're sitting on this land, and they're overlooking the precipice, and there's a city down there. And there's this guy that's there, and of course, he's a non-believer. He doesn't believe what's going on. And he accidentally pushes one of the guys off the cliff, and he's falling. And Aslan appears out of nowhere, and he saves the kid, and he blows him, but he falls into the city. So Aslan turns to the girl that accompanied him on this trip, and there's another guy. He says, all right, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to give you a mission, already tied into the scriptures. I'm going to give you a mission. You're going to have to go into that city and collect that guy. Now, he says, I'm going to warn you. When you get into that city, you're going to be tempted to be distracted by the things that are around you, and you're going to forget your purpose. But I want to remind you that you are there to collect that person and then leave. And I thought, what a brilliant picture of what a believer should be today. We are here, but we should not get distracted. And the person goes down there, and she gets distracted and by all the things that are around. And she said, I keep forgetting there's something I should be doing. There's something I'm supposed to be doing. And he appears to her in a dream and reminds her of who she is. I mean, amazing picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who talks to us in dreams and visions. Your young men shall see dreams. I'm telling you, the book series is great. But anyway, what a wonderful picture of what we should be in this land. Present, but not planted. Right? We're here, but this is not our permanent domain. I'm here for a reason. So today is stay awake and be alert. I want to show you that. We're going to look at the lesson from the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. All right? The lesson from the 10 virgins. Some of you were here when I already talked about this because it was on my heart, and but I'll go over it again. What we're going to do, though, we're going to start in 24. And again, now, when I started here, one of the first things that Pastor shared with me is how to go through the scriptures. A little bit different. There's inductive Bible studies. There's different ways to go through the scriptures. But one of the things he pointed out, he said, look, John, when you go through the scriptures, ask yourself these questions, which most of you know. You're going to ask yourself who's talking. You're going to ask yourself who is he talking to. Then you're going to ask yourself, what does that mean? Where who's talking? What prompted them to speak? Thank you, Pastor. What provoked them to speak? And then you get to how to apply to me. If you never get to how does that apply to me, you're not studying the scriptures. Those are people who are reading material. And the Bible is a good thing to read. There's great stuff in there. There's soap operas in there. There's a dude that has sex with his sister and the brother wanted to kill him. I mean, it's deep. I mean, that would be on primetime television. It's reality TV. But here we go to Matthew 24 to actually get the context for what we're going to read in 25. Remember, you wouldn't watch this. Matthew 24, it says, Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple building to him. And he said this to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down. And as he was sitting on the mountain, at that on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things will happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. And then Jesus begins to actually talk about his coming and his return and the signs of the times and things like that. But what prompted him to speak was the disciples talking about the temple, which was in a magnificent structure in that time, very important to the Jewish people. He said, look at this temple, Lord. And he said, don't get attached. Don't get attached. And so Jesus, as he always does, and he just kicks him in the side and says, look, not one of these stones will be left unturned. This is going to, which the temple was destroyed. This is going to be destroyed. Don't get attached to this. So then that piqued their interest. Okay, when's this going to happen? Which is simply, they're talking about the destruction of the temple. When's that supposed to happen? And also tell us when is your return. And then he goes into the signs of things of him coming back, we're going to jump to 24 because there's some things that happen in 36, from 36 on to 47 that I want you to be mindful of when we go to the verses, all right? So go to verse 36. So he's talking through the end times here, the things that you look for, then he gets to 36. He says, but that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. All right, now the key thing to remember that he says, that day and hour, nobody knows, right? Nobody knows that time. Continue with me. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. In those days before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. So here he's saying, here's a major event coming. He said, my return is going to be just like Noah's time. What was Noah's time like? Noah was commissioned to build the ark, right? He's building the ark. People are looking at him building the ark. And even though this impending judgment is coming upon the world, they're doing the same thing that they've always done. Irregardless that was happening. He said, that's the way it's going to be. When I come back, people are going to be busy doing other things. It's going to be life as usual. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody cares. That's how it's not going to be this great awakening right before he comes. As far as the world around him. Now, the people expecting the awakening will know the signs of the coming. But as far as the world around them, business as usual. Exactly. They're clueless. 36, again, 39. Why does my page keep turning? 24, 36, 39. Okay. Hold on. Here we go. All right, so 39, and they did not understand until the flood came. So judgment already come, then it's too late. All right, here we go. 40. No, I don't want to read that. Go to 42. I don't want to read. There's one left and one's taken. We know that. 42. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. First command. Now, who is he speaking to? Disciples, not the broad people, right? He's not talking to the group of the masses. He's specifically talking to the disciples. Be on alert, okay? Be watchful, all right? Steve's talking sometimes about him being in the military, and he would be out on post, and he would have to stand for hours watching. Now, he would be negligent in his duties if he decided, you know what? Next 5 hours, I'm not going to watch. I'm just not going to do that. Why? Because then something can happen during that time. Here's the first warning. Pay attention to it. It says, be alert. 42. You don't know which day the Lord's coming. Now, he says this. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on alert. He would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also be ready. First is be alert, then be ready. Notice here that the comparison to the Messiah is the thief. Completely confused me. Right? Because these things should not be associated with the Messiah. But here it is. He says, here's how I want you to be alert. Let's just say there's a thief you know is coming. You don't know when he's coming. You don't know the time he's coming. You just know he's coming. What would we do? Brian told me he just purchased a gun. Right? I think he'd be ready with the guns. We're not just going to sit back, keep that unloaded. No, somebody has informed me a thief is coming to my house. He's going to get something when he get here. Right? But if you don't know when, then you have to maintain a constant state of readiness. Now we're going to the virgins, but here's the lead in to this. Be alert, be ready. Let me continue. It's 39, 40, that's 42. Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not know. 45. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave or servant whom his master put in charge of the household to give them their food at the proper time. Notice he said faithful. Where does this term faithful usually apply? Very important. Because we're going to get to the point where he says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? You're supposed to be alert. You're supposed to be ready. And he said, be faithful to that. One of the problems or the things that we get into in our time, and you're going to see this because there's a period of time, is we get ready, we get alert, and then it starts to wane, right? This is when I look around and I've noticed this, I talked to a friend of mine, so it's not just happening here and it's happening other places. You start to see the church attendance go down. What's happening? Distractions. Well, I was alert. I was ready. I mean, you get saved. You get excited. Everything's amped up. You're like, ooh, man, this Christian stuff is great. I'll tell you, I came here. They exposed me to the bookstore, and I was like, I didn't know Christians had books other than the Bible. I wanted to read everything. I'm ready to go. We get 5 years later, and it's, you know, do I have the same excitement? You go 10 years later, you know, and say, he's not coming yet. No, I've got time to get married. I pursued a wife. I got one. She's there. Other things start coming in, and then you start figuring out, well, what are my real priorities? Right? You can get tripped up. I remember me and a friend of mine, we went to a Christian, I'm going to say concert, but it was called Impact. It was a conference. And we were in a hotel. We're staying with these other people from Houston. And we had this one guy in there, and he's like, yeah, man. So I was kind of like, you know, this is me, you know, kind of kin spirit of time. I got the fire. Say, hey, man, what are you going to do in life? He said, man, I don't know, but the first thing I'm going to do is this. And the next thing I'm going to do is that. And then I said, you know what? I said, that sounds good. But let me ask you something. How long are we going to be here in this hotel? He said, oh, you know, a couple of days. Then we're going home. I said, now, wouldn't it be weird? You know we're only going to be here for a few days. You go out and you start buying furniture for this room. And he said, what would be? I said, yeah, I mean, you know, you start buying furniture, you start looking for jobs, and then you just get loaded in this room. Even though you know, you're leaving in a few days. I said, wouldn't that be ridiculous? He said, well, yeah. I said, you know what? You're talking about all these other things you're going to do in your life when the most important thing you need to do is decide whether or not you're going to follow Jesus or not. Amen. Because that decision is a eternal decision, yeah. Right? Yeah. Where I live, where I work, who I'm married to, all temporary, yeah. Right? You would think you want to get the first thing first. Yeah. And he said, you know what? That's a good point. I'm going to have to think about that. So you do that. And then I'm, you know, moved on. Found out later, I didn't even know this. I'm gone. We're here. We're 20 years later. Sean comes and he said, John, here's this tape. I was like, who is this? He said, it's, I'm going to tell you who it is, but make sure you get this to Pastor. I did not give it to you. I'm sorry. And he said, remember that guy we talked to years ago in Atlanta? You know, and I said, yeah, I remember. He said, man, he said, that only did he become a believer, this dude went into the ministry. And is doing traveling ministry. He was so impacted by, and for me, that was just a simple conversation. But what God did with him was eternal. But what if I wasn't watchful? Right? What if I wasn't alert? Listening to the signs from God, I need you to say something to this individual. Right? Because we're always on assignment. Right? There's somebody God's trying to impact. I don't care what job, where you are in your job, where you are in your classroom, where you are hanging out, playing around. Always be alert. Are you going to be faithful to give God's people the food that they need at the proper time? All right? So here's the context. Here, he's trying to run it. You're going to have to be faithful because it's going to be a while before you see me return. All right? 46, blessed is the slave whom his master finds doing so. When he returns, truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of his possessions. Now, I only include that because that's kingdom talk. Remember we talked about kingdom tonight? Because there are riches in the kingdom. Now, here you go from being a servant to now you're going to be put in charge of the stuff. Kingdom talk. Not just coming to save you, take you to heaven, but the kingdom of heaven is coming here, and he's trying to remind you of that. So I just wanted to include that so you see the kingdom is always being discussed in the scriptures. And then now we jump into 25. You can continue reading the other stuff, but now we get to 25. 25, he says, all right, then see the then? See the then? That's because of 24. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. The only time it's going to sound like Islam, you know, because in Islam, you got the 10 virgins in the corner of heaven. And, you know, anyway, just that part. The rest of it is going to be all Christian. Watch this. All right. Okay. Let me stop. Let me stop and then give preference to this, because this is the 10 virgins. They're getting married. It says five of them were foolish and five of them were prudent. We're going to get into why they were wise and foolish. All right. But in the time, according to the custom, not like our time, right? We meet somebody, we date for a little while. If we do the American thing, we date, figure out if we want to be together, we set a wedding date, we get together. Not how they did it, all right? So there is a marriage proposal, go talk to them, there's gifts that have to be exchanged, and then at that period, Jerry, yeah, that's right, man, you could be worth two goats and a cow. You don't want to, you don't want to get that up. So the bridegroom, they exchange all that stuff, and then the bridegroom leaves. Important. The bridegroom leaves. He goes away to prepare the house for the wife and the bride. Our groom has left. There's many mansions in my father's house. If I go away, I go away to prepare a place for you. So the bridegroom is gone. He's preparing a place. And then at that time, the responsibility of the bride is to prepare for the return of the groom. That's the responsibility of the bride. You got to prepare for the return of the groom. And it was said that often the groom would show up in the middle of the night to surprise everybody. I'm here. They're yelling, they're shouting, and they're, it's time to go, you know. And they get ready, and then they leave. So that's the context that he's saying, all right, the kingdom of heaven is like these 10 virgins. You're not going to marry all of them. Don't get excited. But it's like that. All right, 10 virgins. Watch this. Five were wise, five were foolish, five were wise. Why? For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent, they took oil in flasks. So they're prepared along with their lamps. Why? So why would you need a lamp? So you need a lamp so you go out and you can see. So some people, they did not take oil. Now, there is no commentary on why the foolish did not bring the oil. Doesn't say, well, they wanted to go party, just didn't have time, so they left the oil. Did not say, well, they were mindful about their family's business, and so they forgot the oil, they would get it later. No commentary on that. So as far as the master concerned, that's not important.
Yeah, come on.
Right?
Come on now.
That's not important. What was key here is that they chose to neglect their duty. What was the most important thing for the virgins? Get ready for the return of the groom. So five did that, five did not do that, and that puts them in the situation that they are currently in. Now what? We go on from that. Prudent took the oil, five. Now when the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. Now there's a danger right there. Because we've been over 2,000 years, our bridegroom has not returned, and the question is when he comes, will he find faith? Because we've got life in between. We've got husbands, we've got wives, we've got kids, we've got jobs, and the temptation is to forget about the purpose and focus on all the tasks around us, danger. Because then you start getting distracted. You start losing the passion. And then before you know it, you're deceived. You're not following the things that the Lord gave you. You're just doing things. And we're going to look at that, and then you're lost. And then we're not ready. Look, go on from there. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they got drowsy, began to sleep. I think that's a commentary on the church. The church sleeping in a time when the nation needs it most. We'll just let them handle that. We'll do our own thing. We're fighting amongst ourselves. We're attacking ourselves. When clearly the nation needs guidance, we should have leaders in place to speak to those leaders. Here's what the word of the Lord says. We're letting them do their own thing, and we're in our cocoon, and they don't hear the voice of God. Man, they're drowsy and they're asleep. But at midnight, there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Remember, coming in the middle of the night. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Now, that would not work with my wife. I love my wife. We went out to eat. She said, you better make sure you order something because you're not getting none of mine. I said, that's the woman I got to marry. She's not afraid to eat. And you see what you're saying? That's like, look, we didn't bring our own. We know you got some. Give us some of your own. Because they are not ready. They are not prepared. Come on. Come on. Okay, and we'll go through it. And of course, they and why? This, well, yeah. The prudent said, no, there will not be enough for us and you. So you can just go buy some from somewhere. That's kind of, anyway, not very Christian. And while they were going away to make the purchase, bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Now later, the other virgins came, saying, Lord, open the door. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Now, it wasn't, all right, we're here now. These are virgins, both of them virgins. Both groups pledged to the groom. Here's the danger. If you are not ready at the appointed time, they were shut out. Now, that speaks toward judgment, which we see in other verses as he talks about what the judgment is. But he said, don't be deceived about who you are and who you are not. If you were mine, you would have been ready. The fact that you were not ready proved your true identity. Then in warning, be alert, for you don't know the day nor the hour. Now remember, we saw that in 24 about the day and the hour, and the thief. That's the comparison right there. Same thing. Same message. Same vision. Be alert. Stay awake. It's going to be a while. I need you to be faithful. Now, I'm going to show you that again, all right? Show you that again in a different verse just so you can compare it, but it's the same thing. Go to Revelation 3. It's going to be the same thing. And since Jesus is talking, you can see how it relates, right? So Revelations 3, all right? So where we are now, John, who was banished for a period of time, has been called up into the heavens, and he's been shown the revelation, right? And in part of his revelation, the master is speaking to him and gives him these letters for the churches, all right? Now, if you read through this, because these are actually to specific churches in that region, but the text of these letters actually reads like a declaration on seasons of the church. So it's specifically written for these churches, but as you read it, they're timeless, all right? So I want to go to 3 so you can see what I'm talking about, all right? So it says, to the angel of the church in Sardis, write this. He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Now, earlier he tells them the seven stars are the churches, the seven churches. He's writing to these seven churches. Seven spirits, that could be the messengers of the church or God speaking about his voice. But we know that the stars are the churches. He says, say this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. First commentary, those are two conflicting things. He says, I know that you are alive, but that you are dead. You are the walking dead. Very good series, me and Damon enjoy. Yes. You cannot have the walking dead. Can only mean one thing. That as a church, you think to yourselves that you are alive. You think that. When the Bible says, make sure that you measure yourself against yourself, judge yourself to see that you are still in the way. Don't deceive yourselves. When we look in the mirror, he said, those are like people that look in the mirror and they turn away. And after they turn away, they forget what they look like. Those are the people who hear the word but don't follow the word. Do not deceive yourselves. So what we have here is a church gathering as a church who are probably going through the motions. Why? Because it's been a long time since we've seen the master. Now, we're still doing the things that the church is supposed to do, but you got no heart. You got no passion. You just going through the motions. Yeah, you look like you're alive, but you're really dead. He said, I know that. I see that. I have control of all the churches. He said, you look like you're alive, but you're dead. Wake up! Same context, just like the 10 virgins. Remember, because they went to sleep. And then the bridegroom came, the shadows out, get up. Here it is, the Lord said, all right, let me get this clear before I come back. Let me speak to you now. Wake up. Get it together. Look, and then he gets more specific because he says, wake up and strengthen the things that remain. They were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of God. You started something, but you have not finished. You got in the middle of the project, and then you just zoned out. This is a warning. This is an admonishment. Come on, stay with me. Keep going. Don't get distracted. I don't know. I've been going to church, but I'm just kind of tired. Don't get distracted. There's a reason why you come here. Now, if you don't know that, you think, well, I'm just attending to put in my tithe and put in my offering and go. Well, you're missing it. There is purpose in the assembly. There is purpose in the instruction. Well, I don't know. I'm just going about. I don't really want to let anybody know that I'm a believer. I'm just going to go over here being quiet. You're missing it. We're not just Christians so we can wear the shirt. There is a purpose to you being the person that you are. God wrote that in your heart. He put purpose in you and he wants to bring it out, but you can't get distracted. Can't get distracted. What the church in Sardis, he says, wake up. Wake up. So remember what you have received and heard and keep it and repent. Remember, what does repent mean? It doesn't mean to say I'm sorry. It means to turn around. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop going the direction you're going. He says, remember the word. What did Paul tell Timothy? Timothy, remember the words that were spoken over you. Remember the word. All this word that the man of God has ministered and taught and built into you. Remember that word and get after it. Remember that word and stand up for who God says we are. Remember that word. Stand firm. Wake up. Be alert. Stay faithful. He said, but you have a few people in Sardis who've not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they were worthy. White, the symbol of righteousness, again, speaking to the end time, which you get to later on, where he talks about opening up the books and seeing whose names there. And he's going to say, you don't get after it, I'm going to erase your name from the book of life. Do you hear this warning? Come on, now we're talking about the book of life. I'm in. you might not be in. And again, I'm not talking about once saved, always saved, and things like that. I'm talking about taking a real evaluation and measurement of who you are. We're going to talk about looking at fruit a little bit later and say, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, it's a duck. If you are a believer, you should be looking, acting, walking, talking like a believer. If you're looking, acting, talking, and walking like an unbeliever, you may need to check some stuff out. Just to see. I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm trying to wake you up. Go with me, John. I'm gonna show it to you again, and then we'll get out of here. I'll give you three things to do. Go back to John 15. Same exact vibe. Now he's not gonna specifically talk about the church, he's not gonna specifically say wake up. But the same warnings, the same message in a different way. John 15, I'm going to jump to 4. And he starts with, I'm the vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. He says the warning, abide in me, and then he gives the reason. The branches cannot exist on their own. If you're detached from the vine, you're going to wither. That's the warning. Be alert. Stay vigilant. Abide in me. Abide means to remain. It means to live. This is where I am. This is how you can define me. I don't care what's going on around me. You're going to find me here in this spot. I'm not moving. When it comes to God, when it comes to the word, this is where I am. In him I live and move and find my being. The Bible says, when Christ appears, then I shall appear in the glory. If you can't see him, you can't see me. But when you see him, then you're really going to see who I am. Paul says death is going to be swallowed up in life. This mortality is going to be swallowed up by immortality. Don't be deceived by what you see now. Who I am is coming. It's on the way. Don't get distracted. I don't have as much money as them. Who cares? Hey, Damien Minister, some stuff, you don't even need money. You just need favor. Come on. And God gives you a bunch of favor. You're trying to get the money, and God's making the way. Just go toward the way and see the provision get there. Come on. You are supernatural people. You can do supernatural things. You're not limited by the economy. You're not limited by the health scare that's going on. You're not limited. But we get distracted. He says, abide in me. Abide. Because if you get disconnected, you can't bear fruit. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Why? The importance in this. Remember, Jesus walks to the fig thing. He looks for a fig. There is no fig. What does he do? He curses it. Very cruel. The plant people would hate him. But he's speaking prophetically. He didn't just save you to save you. He saved you for a purpose. You are to bear fruit. And the warning is, if you don't stick with me, you're not going to bear the fruit. And you're not bearing the fruit, you're in danger of falling in the judgment. Watch this. 5 on the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Again, same warning. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away. Look at the danger here. I mean, he's hiding. He's like, well, he's just talking about flowers. This man is shouting loud and clear that we're not playing with this. You are in or you are out. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's seven. You can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. He goes into prayer. Here's your connection. If you're in me, if you remain me, as you speak the word spoken will be performed in the earth. When you're connected, you're God's representative, you're God's ambassador. As you represent him, God backs you up. But you have got to remain. I don't care what causes are out here in this world. You're not called of God to line up with social constructs. No, there's a purpose of God that he has you here. Now, if God calls you to start something, then okay, that's in God. It's going to bear fruit, whatever. But aside from that, we are not them. We are not them. We are specifically here to do something he specifically called us for. Amen. It does not work when we go aside from him to do our own thing or to do somebody else's own thing. So he warns you, stay connected, remain, abide, and bear fruit. Amen? Is this making sense? Amen. Here we go. Last thing, give you some things. Not all the things, just some things. So make sure you're still doing. And then God will give you the rest, all right? 1 Thessalonians 5, 15 to 17. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 15 to 17. Last time I did have an error and Pastor had to correct it, so anything is possible. 15 to 17. I'll start in 15. See that no one repays any repays any other with evil for evil. See, this is the thing that he instructs us to do. But always seek after that which is good. See, always means to continually do that. These are things we should always do, which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. See, these things we should always be doing. Always do. Continue. But here we are in verse 15. Or is it 17? 17, and he says to pray without ceasing. The key here, stay alert. Remain. Abide. What should I be doing in this time period when I'm waiting right here and say, I don't care what other things you're doing. One of the things that you should be doing is make sure you're praying. Luke 18:1, write that down. Go to it later. He says, men ought always to pray. Come on, these are important, people, for us. These things are important for us to make sure that we are staying in the way. Make sure that you're always praying. Now, go to 2 Timothy 2. I think this is 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved. I'm glad you said that, because I don't think this is 2 Timothy 2:15. Yeah, it is? Okay, good. Yeah, we are. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. What does it mean to be diligent? It means to be constant in your effort. Oh, just that always again. Be constant in your effort to study the scriptures so that you can be approved. Approved to what? You're ready for the Lord to use you to work. Almost the same thing as be alert. Stay ready. Be ready. Be aware. Be diligent to do this. Why? Because we get out there. I'll tell you now, man. I got a wife. I got chores. I have one that's scheduled to, you know, when to study. That starts getting lost. Maybe I'll do it in the morning. Or maybe I'll do it when I come home. And, well, it's time to eat then. Maybe I'll do it right before I go to bed. I'm kind of sleepy. I'll start tomorrow. Oh, man, we got to make sure that we got to get this in there. This is important to who we are. It's important. Always pray. Make sure you're diligent, constant in your efforts in studying the scriptures. Verse 3, and this is the important one here. What is that? I did it again. I'm sorry. I don't know why I do it, but I just do it. The scripture says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now, I look at that as a timeless piece, because I have no idea in that time how the Lord could look in our time and know that we would have this thing called the internet. And from the internet, you can be at home and you can hear pastor minister and you can hear the worship. And isn't it just wonderful? You can even give your offerings right over the internet. And I can just stay here in my wonderful room, laying on my wonderful bed, you know, with my head on my pillow. I don't have to leave. No. Now, it's great to have that. That technology assists us in what we're doing. People can hear us around the world. People in other states, you know, they're in other places, they listen to our assemblies. So that's great. But did you hear this? He said, don't forsake the assembly. Not, well, don't forsake the hearing of the message. There's a purpose in us gathering together. It really is. Look. He points it out here, and then I'll be due. Psalms 133. Look at this. Look at that. Jerry, you know where I'm going? She's like, woo. I thought it was pretty good, and the Lord reminded me of it. Psalms 133. Watch, I said there's purpose in us gathering together. We're not just coming together so we can, you know, I would say see our big hats, but we're not a traditional church here, so. You don't see that kind of stuff. Psalms 133 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Or said, it is good. It is pleasing for brothers to dwell together in unity. And he said, it is just like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, not just anybody's beard. This is Aaron's beard. This is the priest. This has all been broken across his head and coming down, the presence of the Lord flowing down over his body, coming down upon the edge of his robe. It's, and he goes, it is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains. It's just like those pictures that they put on, you know, Microsoft. They just shoot those things out there. Look at the pictures, man. It's like the dew on Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. Did you see this? We're talking about the fellowship of the believer, the coming together of the believer. He said there in that assembly, in that coming together is the commanded blessing. Commanded. That means it has to happen there. It has to happen in that group. The commanded blessing, life forever. And see, people start getting pulled away. They get dragged away. And then bit by bit, they start drying up. They start getting depressed. They start getting isolated. And all these troubles overcome them. And the Lord says, get back to the assembly so that you can be infused with life. The Lord knows there are crazy people around you. He knows who's in your family. He's like, you got to go get where there is love so that you can be built up and encouraged and strengthened so that you can stand in all that crazy stuff. Get to the commanded blessing. Don't be distracted. Keep praying. Keep studying. You keep getting together. Be faithful. Stay alert, because I'm coming. When I come back, you need to be ready. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, keep us in your will. We do not exist apart from you, and our faithful commitment is we will do what you've called us to do. If we walked away from that, Lord, remind us of who we are in you. Remind us of the purposes you placed in us. And give us the courage to step out in that purpose, that you may be glorified in this earth. Father, we thank you. Amen. You are blessed. Go to God. Richard, you can come. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Good word. Good word. Well, we're going to take just a minute and allow you to reach down in your pockets and your purses and be a blessing for Brother John. He does not receive a check from the church for preaching. None of our ministers do. So that's why we want to bless them. And for if you were blessed, bless him. The word is good. The word requires, or the word is worthy of our sowing into it so that we can receive the harvest from it. Amen? Hallelujah. We'll be able to, you can bring it right up here to this bucket, but first, stand with us and let's just bless the Lord for a few minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just go lift our voice and give praise to the Father. Bless your name, Father. Oh, we glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name forever. We glorify you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that leads us and guides us in all truth. And we thank you, Father, for the word that we've heard today. We call it truth in our hearts and our lives, and we seal it with your Holy Spirit, Father God. You seal it in our hearts that we may not lose that word, Father God, but we choose to lay hold of that word, to be that word, to do what you have commanded. We celebrate you, Father. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's continue to lift our voice and praise the Lord. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Worthy are you, Lord, to receive all glory and honor and praise. Glory to your name. Glory. Glory to you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name. Blessed Lord, blessed Lord, blessed Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we celebrate and rejoice in your provision. In everything that we have need of, you have already provided. We thank you, Father God, for divine life, for divine health, for divine strength for our pastors, for Pastor Jim and Sister Lou. I thank you, Father God, that life flows freely in his body, that he is strengthened daily. And I thank you, Father God, that there is no quit, there is no stop, there is no place to stop. But Father God, we choose to rejoice in healing. We thank you, Father God, by your stripes that Pastor Jim has been healed, by the stripes that our Redeemer took on his body. We celebrate and rejoice that the same Spirit that raised our Redeemer from the dead dwells in his body, quickens his body, and quickens all of our bodies, Father God, causes us all to be alive. And I thank you, Father God, that supernatural power that raised our Redeemer from the dead pushes out all infirmity, all infection, all disease. And I thank you, Father God, that our lives, our bodies are quickened with divine life. We celebrate you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for peace. Thank you for joy. Thank you for our covenant that we have with you. We love you, Father God. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Father, you said in your word that if our hearts were perfect toward you, if our hearts were facing you and we look to you, Father God, that you would show yourself strong in our behalf. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Father God. Father, I just bless this people now. I call them the blessed of the Lord. I thank you that your spirit goes before them and your favor surrounds them on all sides. I thank you, Father God, that your spirit lives inside of them and always leads them in truth, triumph, and victory, and that they are the fragrance of your sweet presence everywhere they go. When they walk into a place, people notice that the air changes, that the atmosphere has changed because we, as representatives of the Most High God, have come in to their presence. I thank you, Father, that everywhere we go, Father God, in every place that your people go, that you are represented. And Father, everything that they put their hands to is prosperous and successful. We bless your people, Father God, that your face shines on them and you cause them to rise up and be the sons of the Most High God. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is good to have been in the house of the Lord. Take the Spirit of God with you. Take the Word with you. I call you blessed. You're dismissed. The ministers will be up front if you have, if you want to stand in agreement for any issues. And don't forget our birthday boys, Brother Damon and Brother John. You can bless them as well.